Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you are listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio in Studio B, live on blogtalkradio.com. Time in a while. I have been a busy man. I have been all over. We have been doing paranormal investigation with my friend out there, Sonic Tech. Hello, Sherry and Gary, her beau Gary, are on our team on Ghost Rider Investigations. Been doing that and been nursing my mother along. She turns out, we found out why the slow healing. It turned out it's a vitamin D deficiency. So that poor lady has been putting up with all this, and now she's feeling better. So things are kicking into gear around here, guys. But I've been out chasing ghosts, was just out on the USS Hornet last week, and just a ton of things starting to happen. I have Tim Zuhl out there. The night I had him scheduled for a show that I had to cancel because of the thing with Mom, and I was having my own little difficulty. So I'm going to be getting with him to get him back on because he is an excellent paranormal investigator out there. So we'll be talking with him, if you'll please forgive me. And we will definitely be doing all sorts of new things. We were scheduling a investigation for later this month that we had to move out to August. And we found out just today that it probably won't happen for a little while longer out further than that. But it was at a haunted lighthouse on the California coast. So we're improvising, adapting, and overcoming. And we'll be doing some new investigations at a different locale out somewhere in California, we think. And I've been talking back and forth with our case manager, Vicky. And so we'll be seeing what we come up with there. But definitely be about a 4 to 6 person team. And a much more structured investigation. The last few we've been testing out different methods, and now we're going to go to definitely split teams, more team rotations, and going to try some new technologies. I just got the Ovilus X, I think they call it, or 10, but I'll just say X, the X Ovilus. And what a neat device! And the nice part was I got the. This unit that plugs in that shows you in what the words are being said, which is really a boon to have when you're out in the field to actually see the word that's being said and not have to guess what the ovulus is saying. So that really helped a lot and we used it for the first time aboard Hornet, and it worked beautifully. One of the best ovulus units I've got. I'll be bringing the other one back in, the Ovilus PX, back into the studio. This is its new home. It'll be plugged into. I don't have it here right now, but I will have it for forthcoming shows so that we can do some Ovilus shows and get back to doing some EVP on air. Yes, I'm going to be doing what we did before. And I'm trying to schedule shows on Fridays for the most part and then do the investigations and all the ranch work and all that stuff on Fridays. So just trying to get all that stuff out the gate. I do see we have one caller out there, and I've got – oh, God, I'm a terrible man. I forgot to bring Nancy on. Nancy, are you there?
Yes.
I Nancy is my woman with the frying pan. She is my woman with the frying pan, yes. I love it when you hurt me. Hit me with it again, please.
I don't do that, John.
But you do, and you do it so well. Oh, okay.
I'm going to smack you. I'm going to smack you.
It's such a Bay Area thing, you know. So, anyway, 49er Gary. I have a wonder. I wonder if that is Gary from my team. So, if it is, if he can say yes out there in the chat, I hope that's him. I think that's him. We've got Bright out there. Driss Reg, who was listening to me go ballistic about the bullet train out here in California on Chris's show just a while ago. I was going, gang, gang, gang. Anyway, so.
It is your Gary.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
He just answered, yes.
He's in Truckee, dude. It's like the place to be. Lots of ghosts. Go there. If you want to go to a haunted place, go to Truckee, Mom. It is wall-to-wall ghosts from one end of the town to the other. I don't care where you hunt. Just go. If you're a paranormal investigator, go. Go to Truckee. It's like friggin' hallowed ground for Gold Rush ghosts. So let's see. What else we have? We've got JB34, Jeannie Marie, Southern Belle. Oh, yes. She's just wonderful. We love Jeannie. Everybody say hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie. She's out there. Mary Lou Who, too. What happened to the first one? Okay. Nancy Mom, who is my co-hostess.
Yep.
She's there.
Frying pans are armed.
Anyway, Skidge is with us, and we've got Sonic Tech. Sherry she actually works on sonic weapons. She uses them and fires them at passing vehicles. It's amazing. She can take out tires at 25 feet. It's just awesome. So I'm never going to hear the end of that. So she's rather dangerous, you know. But she's an excellent investigator too, along with Gary and Tim Zuhl. Tim is here looking shifty-eyed in his little icon there in the chat room. So good to see you guys. I just decided to do this show because, number one, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that we've been doing. BTR is being very stingy with audio tonight. I mean,
yes,
you cannot
it is.
Hear me.
You fade in and out. You fade in and out.
Am I fading in? Huh, hang on a sec. I'm going to do something. It might be because I've got the fan blowing on me. I don't know.
Oh,
it could be
blowing your words away.
It could be the audio. Hang on, guys. Studio A is sometimes a little weird, so I'm just going to try this. So it's not blowing completely on me, but I still get a little. It's really hot out here right now, by the way, guys. Very hot. Yes. And I mean, you've got it good out where you're at, Oakland. It's like it never gets hot. It's like always 72 degrees, perfect weather, almost always, right?
Well, we were, where I live, probably close to the 90s today.
What?
You know.
That's illegal in your part of the world. Good Lord.
The weather is changing. Everything is all screwed up, John. I don't know what the heck's going on with the weather anymore. It's just crazy.
Well, you know, it's all relative. If you stop and look at it, take a look at a planet like – I was just reading some stuff about Saturn, you know, big storms on Saturn. You know what the average wind speed is on Saturn right now? It's about 1,000 miles per hour storms, and the storms can last for 2 and 3 years at a time. So, you know, we complain about our weather. It's probably pretty good here, you know, so it's all relative. But anyway, I was out on USS Hornet here. Last week and called in. I did a show from the deck of the Hornet. You guys were good enough to Kathy dialed in and ran the board. You were my co-host there, and we did an investigation there, and it was a lot of fun. It wasn't as active as the last time, and I attribute that to the fact that Gary and Sherry weren't there because they seem to attract ghosts, and it's good to have them around. Anyway, there was activity, though. We had some pretty wild activity. I'm trying to remember where it was. Oh, in the Admiral's quarters, again. Seems to be really just a lot of strange stuff happens in there. And we had our down the hall from it in the pilot briefing room, we had a lot going on with our K2 meters. And at the same time, it was affecting even the Melmeters were going pegging. I mean, it was just going crazy. And then that all died off. And we had things happen the rest of the investigation, but I actually made the choice to sleep alone up in the forecastle. And that's actually at the forward section of the ship, up near where the anchor chains are and where the crew that would anchor the boat or the ship. If I say boat, they'd kill me. But they would anchor the ship. I slept in those forward berthing areas. So I was by myself in there, just under where this gentleman actually hung himself. And behind where another sailor hung himself out in the forecastle, out in the main work area where the anchors were kept. And so all night long, I kept waking up. We ended the investigation about 2 in the morning. And I went to bed, and I'll admit I had a little trepidation. You know, normally I'd sleep in sick bay, and there's other people around, and I've never really gone by myself and slept alone at way far from everybody else, off in a section with a reputed haunting going on right there, and been by myself. So it was weird. I mean, I finally went to sleep, and I wake up, and I heard walking going on right by my right out where I was, just in the room I was in this hallway, going by my bunk. So I heard that, and then I heard talking, and there was a lot of it was like muffled talking, and in that section of the ship, sound. I really tried to debunk it. I thought, okay, what's going on? So I got up and I went out, and I was on the upper bunk where I was at, so I had to really get down carefully and quietly. I get down and walk around and check it out, and there's nobody there. You know, and that happened twice in the night. I was hearing this activity. And, you know, I tried to reason it out. Oh, it's security walking around, you know, because they do rounds. And none of that was happening. I mean, it was just dead quiet. And I was hanging out with the dead. So I haven't analyzed evidence from that yet, because I did run some recorders. And we're going to be going back in October. They're going to have I'm a regular docent, by the way, aboard Hornet. So they have I'm on staff now. They just let me know, come on out. So I'll be going back out in October, and then just, you know, whoever wants to get on the event, get out there and get your tickets now, because I think it's mid October. I don't remember the exact date, but they're always a fun event, and you will come away with EVPs. You will come away with video evidence of some sort. You'll walk away with some kind of evidence. So, I mean, the ship is incredibly haunted, and it's a very disciplined haunt, very safe. That was, I think, my 11th time aboard, and a lot of neat stuff going on. So let's see. Oh, Sonic Tech says, working on Virginia City. Now, oh yeah, you're working on we went to Virginia City. It was a really weird set of events. It was almost a disaster. A lot of strange things happened on that case. We went out there, I think, 2-3 weeks ago. We were out in Virginia City, and that case was strange from the beginning. We were going to see a magic show, and the magician was incredibly sick, actually ill, and did the show, and then had to be carted away in an ambulance.
Oh, my God.
So that was an auspicious beginning to our investigation set. we had some, you know, there was some interesting stuff. Vicky was with me early on going to Virginia City, and we had done our reveal at Truckee, which went really well, and from the Truckee Hotel, which was an incredible haunt. And we got into town, and we decided to go down to the Virginia City Cemetery to Boot Hill. And we were on our way out, and we sat down, and I had a feeling I should sit down, and I turned the ovulus on. And the ovulus kind of settled down, and her and I were talking. All of a sudden, it says loud. And it was unmistakable, the word loud. And 20 seconds later, and I had a recorder running, so I've got this on tape. And I suddenly, 20 seconds later, I didn't realize it, but at 12 noon, they play a very loud siren. The siren goes off, and I didn't have my video running because I had no reason to, but I had an audio recorder. So I've got the video segment where I flipped the camera on and I recorded that, and I'm going to merge the audio clip in so people can see, you know, yeah, this really did happen. And we've got the whole sequence, and then it carries over to the video. So I'm going to definitely do that and get that out there on Facebook. And you can see some of our video, by the way, from the prior case from Truckee. If you go out to the Ghost Rider Investigations channel out on YouTube, and Sherry did just a wonderful job with the videos, way better than I could have done. And I've tried. I mean, I can handle doing video, but she's sort of really good at it. So hey, everybody bow to her because she's a great person for doing that, and really took the time to integrate all the different evidence in from all the clips and stuff. So you can see a lot of the things we get out there in these hunts out in the field. So we'll definitely see more of that with the Virginia City stuff. The place to go that we really got the most evidence, though, we hit a lot of the really big sites and didn't get much going on, except the hotel we were staying in, which was the Silver Queen Hotel, turned out to be just chock-a-block full of activity. So I recommend to anybody there, get rooms 11 and 13. That's where the Ghost Adventures crew stayed, and they got a lot of stuff. Well, believe me, we had our share. And I clearly heard, you know, get out audibly three times. We were just kicking back in the rooms and resting, and heard that.
John, is that the one where somebody stood on Sherry's legs or something when she was sleeping?
No, actually, they woke up in the morning, I think, and it ended up, Vicky got scratched.
Oh.
And then I got poked a few times in different places. I think we were at one of the other buildings. I can't remember the name of it, St. Anne's or St. something like that. But what was funny is we back at the hotel, those two were asleep in the room next door. I think they were in 13 and it ended, or no, 11, and we were in 13. They were in 11 and they heard these footsteps running across at them. And then it went into their room and it ran right across the bed and then stopped, I think, at Sherry's feet. So, I know that they were running cameras then, so I'm hoping that Gary, because Gary's always good with the cameras in the rooms that they're sleeping in. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting if there's any snoring. But
blame the ghost.
I've recorded myself, you know, for EVV stuff, and then you hear me, and I'm like a buzzsaw just going, you know. So trust me, the things you do for hunting ghosts, you know, they even hear yourself, you know, snoring. Then the screaming at night, you know, no problem. But, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, I'm hoping that they caught that actually on the video, that whatever that was. We had some really wild activity in their room, though, the night before, where we had really complex interactions with the different tenting gear we had. And it was setting off alarms on my Mel meter at the same time as this spirit was setting off those little simple cell sensor meters that sit there and kind of just start blinking lots. They're like a $29 meter. They never go off. This one was going off on command and answer when questions were being asked. And so it was kind of a complicated thing. I brought my Mel meter in, and it all started reacting all in together, and we were just standing there just dumbfounded. We've never seen anything like this. So I think we have video that event too, which will be coming out. And it was just it's one thing, you know, you can walk away disappointed in some of the big sites, some of the big names out there, but really we walked away with a ton of evidence and we had a great time. So Virginia City, definitely worth the time and effort to go out there just to see the sites. But not only that, they've got some great ghosts out there, so definitely go see it. Yeah, Ghost Meter.
Yep.
Yeah, she's saying, Sherry's saying yes, we do. But anyway, hey, I am here tonight to do some readings. Oh, dear God, he's going to read Spirit and Seals. And I see an 814 out there, but they're on hold. And I see Mary Lou is out there. And we've got, I cannot even say this name, Gnabadhi. Can I say that backwards? Yep, yep, yep. All right, so we'll try this M name, Mary Lou.
Hi.
How are you? Mary Lou? That rock.
You know me.
I know you.
Okay. I'm a little under the weather, so I'm talking kind of funny, so I'm sorry. Now, when you said Virginia City, did you mean Virginia City, Nevada?
That's the one.
That's an old ghost town-like place.
Yeah, it's an incredibly haunted place. It's another one of those gold rush type communities that, you know, is so typical of pretty much Northern California all the way down to, you know, from basically from the eastern, lower eastern Sierra up all the way up towards Oregon. I mean, that whole area is just crazy haunted. And there's a lot of places. It's hard not to get evidence out here. I mean, we're sort of an undiscovered country when it comes to the paranormal. There's just so much of it. You know, a lot of people think that it's, you know, just certain areas. No, the whole, pretty much the whole state.
So so when you were there, have you tried like the Ovilus for the iPhones? They're like $10 or something for the app.
Oh yeah, we've done work with these little ghost radar type programs. That's what you're talking about.
The it's an Ovilus for the iPhone. It's $10 an app.
Oh yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, our friend Bill Chappell, who creates the regular Ovilus, he's also got his own software, and they're going that way because it's so much cheaper for them. They get more money per unit sold. The software just returns more money than any hardware they sell. So he's really taken advantage of the fact that a lot of the electronics he needs is already on smartphones. And I think they work. I think they, you know, I've seen the ghost radar ones, which are similar type technology, and they use the same electronics on the smartphones. I think there's something to it. I've seen enough similar results that you would get from an Ovilus that a regular, you know, hardware Ovilus. I think that they are useful devices. So I recommend to people try things out like that.
I don't have an iPhone, but I saw a psychic with the iPhone app, and her husband had the really expensive Ovilus, and her $10 app did so much better than his expensive machine. But then again, I saw the same app in someone else's hand, and it didn't do anything. So the fact that she's psychic might have helped, I would assume.
There is a real big zone of thought or school of thought that revolves around the fact that people that are more open-minded to this stuff and may have, you know, be more, quote, developed or just, you know, have these skills inherent in them, can be handed a piece of gear like that and just, you know, get amazing results. I, for example, seem to get EVPs wherever I go, and it really doesn't sort of matter. Even if it's a regular case, I can walk out on the street and get EVP. And I've proven it. I mean, I've done experiments with that and shown that I could be downtown in Placerville in the middle of the day and get EVPs. And other people are hard-pressed to get anything. And I don't know why I get them, but that's just the way it works.
But what I don't understand with you is you already have clear flowing spirit. Why do you need a machine to prove it other than it's fun?
It's not so much to prove it, and I'm not in this to prove this to anybody other than to myself. I mean, you know, I grew up in a family where this was pretty much an everyday event for us. And, it, you know, I was surprised at later on in life, I was surprised that people were so blown away by these things. And as I've gone further with this, I mean, when my dad got sick and all these events happened, I began to question certain areas, and that's what really got me involved in this more in depth. But why do I use the hardware? I use the hardware because it works. And it's not always the case that it's easy for me just to, you know, I can't read spirit like an open book all the time. It's almost impossible. What I do know is I trust my instincts. I trust my feelings. Sometimes I'll hear spirits. Sometimes I'll see them. A lot of times I'll get symbols from them. And then I use the gear to augment, and it all plays together like a nice orchestra. And I generally walk away with really good stuff because of it. And it really helps people believe you when you can walk in. And there is some belief to it. You know, I mean, when you say, yeah, I sensed the spirit, and by the way, here's what they said, and I heard what they had to say, or I knew what they were saying, and here's the responses I was getting. And we have that repeatedly time after time. So it really helps the people who are more on the fence to hear that kind of thing. You know, so it's yeah. And besides that, I like to hear their voices. I like to hear what they sound like. And you know what? And they like to be able to communicate with us, and they really want to be heard. So that's why we do it.
Awesome. Okay, yeah. So is it okay if I ask for a reading tonight?
Oh, my God, is it okay? Nancy, what do you think?
I say go for it, John. I think you
okay.
should.
All right. Yeah. Okay, you can ask.
I can ask.
Excuse me.
I'm so sorry. I'm terrible. Okay, I will give you a reading because you're a nice person.
I just have mediumship issues.
What's that?
I just have mediumship issues, so I'd love information.
You have mediumship issues?
Yeah, which is, you know, if you read me, if you pick it up, I will know. But if you don't, then you won't, and that's fine. But whatever you can pick
okay.
up would be good.
Well, I have reading it forever, so, you know, I'm probably a bit rusty. God, you're going to be hard on me.
You don't need toys.
I like the toys, though. I'm a man.
Okay.
I like my doodads. I like my electronic things. Gary is the same way as me. Gary has Gary's brand new to this, and he's almost got as much gear as I've got now. And it's like interesting. We have all the same stuff, and we like to go off and we men go off and pontificate and talk about the spirits we caught on this device and that. So you see, so you as a mediumistic personality yourself do not need that, and I applaud that. But I do.
No. I'm not nearly as good as you are.
No, I'm not that good. No, okay. I guess a lot.
Well, you have really good guesses.
Oh, really? Thank you.
I'm validating you.
All right. So what is it you're looking for tonight? Are you talking about wanting just to hear what someone else has to say from the other side, or somebody coming through?
You know, I want to know if you pick up any spirits around me and what they might be saying, because there has been one around me that has me scratching my head, and I just want to know, you know, can you tap into it too? And I'd rather, you know, I don't really feel the need to spill my guts or anything, but just want to hear if you can tap into it.
Okay.
If you do, you do. If you don't, that's fine too.
Well, what I'm getting, my normal system, as some of you know, is I the system I was trained under, I generally draw a kind of a cross pattern, and on the right side I have the female, the mother, left side is father, and depending on where they kind of fit in that whole pattern, I can kind of sense what part of the family they're with, but I don't feel that this is a family member.
You are
and
correct.
I feel that this is a male.
I don't know then.
Okay, this is a male energy. I feel like male energy with this person, but I don't feel that it is a family member at all.
Okay.
I mean, are you perceiving a female?
Yes.
I'm going to describe the characteristics of this male energy that I'm picking up, and then we'll see how closely that matches, because I may be mistaking the sex, but
okay.
I'm getting a hard-edged male. This is a hard-edged male. In life, he's brunette, and slight build, not very big. I don't know what his relationship was with you. I don't get why he's coming through for you guys. Interesting that they would say stamina. Do you know, say yes or no to this, do you know the name of the person that you're, this woman that you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Would this woman have had a male energy with her that has passed?
I'm not sure.
All right. I'm feeling like that I'm picking up on him over and above her, and I don't know why. But I would challenge you to go check this. I'm getting the mind lamp is turning or perfect shade of purple, which is high spirit. Was this woman, he's the one doing all the talking. This is the part that's got me. Was the woman that you're, the way he's presenting, was she highly spiritual?
I'm not sure. Don't know.
Okay, well, the way that this popped into me was that she seems to be, if not spiritual in life, then...
Sorry, my computer tells the time, like you're ovulating.
Okay. Okay.
Scared me.
Holy crap. Anyway, but what I'm getting is that, yeah, is that this woman is, she's not talking to me. She's letting him do the talking, and I feel that the two are together. In life, was this woman, did you know this woman in life, correct?
No, I mean, I did not know her in life.
But you know of her?
Yes.
Is she like friend of the family or acquaintance of the family? Of you? Your family?
No.
What is this relationship with you guys then?
She's the mother of a friend.
She's the mother of what?
She's the mother of a friend.
Mother of a friend.
I never met her. She passed.
Why is she coming to you? I mean, that's the part she's not talking to me. I get the feeling it's like, you know, why are you looking at us? You know, I think she's even looking at you going, why are you bringing this strange man in to talk about stuff like that?
Well, she hangs with me. She's not. She hangs with me and she goes like everywhere I go. So I'm trying to get to the point to figure out. What I'm trying to figure out is I'm not going to do what she wants me to do. So why is she here? Is she here because I'm supposed, are you like supposed to counsel people who are dead and tell them no? I mean, I don't know.
All right, let me just.
Without going into major detail, I don't know.
I don't know what this man has to do with the whole thing. Well, my lamp just turned a perfect shade of pink. So there was love between her and him. You don't know much about her actual physical life then, or the consequences of, you know, or much about her life, right? You don't know much about.
She's a friend's mom.
But do you know much about her actual life here on Earth?
She got married, had kids, lived a nice life, and died.
And do you know much beyond that, the circumstances, the character of her life, the things that went on?
Yeah, the general stuff,
She was married?
Yeah.
And the husband is still here, or is he passed?
No, he's still there, here, still alive.
Okay. All right, well, whoever this male is that's with her, I know that it's a familial type relationship, like it's family type thing of some sort. She's incredibly difficult to read, and the one thing I'm going to say is that the overall impression I get is she's like, you don't need to know. If I had to, she just wanted me around. I mean, I'm kind of like pissed off. I mean, come on, chick.
She doesn't want you around?
She doesn't want me to read all about what's going on between, it's almost like it's a personal thing between you two. And this guy, though, he's being nice enough to come through and describe it. And I feel that if I had to pick up, is her father passed? Because I feel, I'm going to have to say that I think this may be father energy or fatherly energy to her.
Her father should be passed.
So it's like that, but I don't know that it's, did father have, do you know anything about the father's immediate family, their brothers?
I don't know.
All right. I'm going to say father or a brother type energy that would be like a kind of like a father. It's in that vicinity, okay? But this guy is the one coming through, and I don't have a name for him, but what I have is he's just sort of, the way she is she's just basically wanting to, it's between you and her. It's not for the world to hear the rest of this, and I don't know why. And I honestly, I just can't penetrate it. It's not one of those nights I'm going to pick that up. So, yep. I mean, I'm sorry. Sometimes it's just the way it is. They're not going to tell me. And I've had that happen before, and it'll happen again. But she is not opening up to me at all. So, sorry.
I think she's worried that I'll send her away. It's not that I would send her away. It's that I don't get why she's not, why she's so persistent with what she wants.
Is there been has she been manifesting in the house, manifesting around you? Has there been like activity?
Stuff has been manifesting around me, but I don't know who it is or what it is.
What's been manifesting? The first word.
I've seen and felt things around the house, and I don't know what it is.
Okay, the one thing that the man has given me is that she's definitely working with you, and she's doing everything she can to get the attention. And I think that's exactly what you're experiencing with her, and you're aware of her. She's beating you over the head basically to get your attention, and she'll do whatever it takes. So I would just basically open up and find out what's really going on. You're skilled enough to be able to handle it yourself. It sounds like it's a business thing between you two. And I've had it happen where they just will not talk to me about it. It's not my, you know, they don't want another person involved. And for whatever reason,
talk to everybody, frankly,
he's not talking to me.
Huh.
And I don't know why.
Well, I think she's worried that I'm upset with her, because the last thing she did was, it was so detailed, it blew my mind. And it makes me wonder, what exactly is our relationship with the people that are on the other side? Do they see the big picture, or are them trying to manifest us, are them trying to manipulate us, something that we need to kind of stand up to? I mean,
well,
do they need counseling?
It's not so much that. It's mean the picture that I have of the other side, you know, and it's incredibly difficult, because, you know, even mediums, you know, yeah, we're just a telephone, and, you know, we get little glimpses of things, but we don't see the whole picture. But when they get over there, they're at the level of spiritual development that they, you know, they've reached, and that's it. And they don't see any further higher up the hierarchy, because they've got growth to go through before they can see bigger, more impressive things, and then they can go further up. And so what they did in this life, to grow and to move on farther up is, you know, kind of details, if you will, their rank. And they don't see the big picture. They don't see everything. They are aware of spiritual law, though. And there's certain things that they, like a spirit, may know that someone's going to pass, but they're not allowed to come in and overtly tell that person or people around them. They might do something to try to prepare people, and later on, in hindsight, you will find out that there was, you know, that was what they were really trying to tell you, and you have to kind of read between the lines, so they can blur it a little bit with what they're doing to get the point across that you need to be ready.
Is she politely just trying to continue what she was doing in life and manipulate the same things that she couldn't manifest in life and do it through spirit? I mean, is that...
There are spirits at a lower level of development that will continue to behave the way they did, for the most part, in spirit as they did on Earth. And they have a lot of work to do to grow beyond that. And they reincarnate and then keep going back until they get this stuff right and they progress further up the line. How that all works and how far they can go with that, I don't know. But what I do know is this, she's not going to be able to, quote, manipulate unless you allow that.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's really, you can basically, I mean, you in even as a living, you know, here you are a living person. You can be more spiritually advanced than she is on the other side, and she's, you know, so it's sort of a mistake to put spirits just because they're a spirit, you know, in this higher plane of existence. Oh, they know so much. You know, sometimes they don't, and sometimes they can be really pissy to deal with, you know, and they're not going to tell you stuff, and they're going to be act weird. And the lowest form of it is when you go out and do paranormal investigation, because we find an awful lot of very confused, angry, unaware spirits, and it's our job to try to help them. That's part of why we do the work we do. So in this case, though, I mean, she's kind of telling me to butt out, and I don't know that – I just don't know what else to do with her, but other than to say, well, sending love and blessings to you, and I don't know, but this male energy is familial to her. I know this much, and he's doing more being kind to me and just saying, here's what's going on, and giving me a little bit to go on. Now the lamp turns perfect shade of green as soon as that, and that's usually heart energy. So it's just, he's a nicer person. He knows the whole score. He's probably a little higher up the chain than she is. So I don't know what her angle is, but just be careful, you know. I mean, what else do you know about this? I mean, how long has this been going on?
She's been coming for a year now, and she has no ill will. Her intentions are pure, but basically it's the stuff that she didn't get to accomplish in life, she wants to see manifest now, and she wants my help. But, you know, you can't... If other people here in my life want what they want in life, they have no right to have their mother come through and, you know,
to remind them that
that's not what she wants them to do. That's not right.
How did she pass?
Cancer.
What's the male is referring to, and he's using a strange symbol that I don't know what the meaning of this, but is he showing these scissors? Was there a lot of operations on her or something? Was she operated on?
No.
What's the thing with the scissors about?
I have no idea.
He's showing these scissors and cutting. Did she work in some kind of thing where she was cutting things, doing things like that?
No.
Okay, well then I'm misreading what he's saying. Is there... why am I being shown scissors by this guy? He's insistent. Was she hard? She was hard to deal with in life, correct?
I didn't know her, so I'm thinking of her as a sweet, some friend's mom. You know, I don't know. No, I think she's easygoing and passive. Is my gut instinct is that she's easygoing and passive, but where it concerns her child, then you know that might be a different story. You know, moms love their kids.
What? Okay, well, I'm going to just say, ask, are there like, there are children that are still alive from her?
Yeah.
That her children are still around? You may want to just ask about anything that's happened with scissors or what the scissor reference was with the mother, because I feel this strongly is...
Am I supposed to cut her off?
I don't know. I don't know what this was. When she passed, it was from definitely from the cancer, correct?
Right.
Was there an attempt by her to end this early? If you know what I mean.
No, I don't. She basically found out she had cancer one day and died shortly thereafter. So no, I don't think she had time. She was like, "Oh look, I'm sick. I'm dead." You know.
Okay, well, she's a difficult read. I'm sorry. I wish I could do more, but male energy with her is higher, elevated, and he's the one that's been passing this stuff on, and she's not the one coming through for me at all. So, I wish you well with it, but I don't know what I can do to help you.
Okay, that's fine. She's usually very strong, but I guess the rule is if I ask about her, she'll come in weak. But if I don't ask about her, she'll come in overly strong.
Yeah. And it depends. I mean, I'll try tonight to see if I can pick up anything with this afterwards. But I just wonder if it's stage fright from the other side. I don't know. I've run into this a few times where I'll just, you know, normally spirits just come right up to me and just belt it out. And I just, this one's like not even wanting to talk to me.
No, I've been scratching my head over. Basically, I got a reading and she pretty much laid it all out perfectly. I mean, couldn't have been any more clear. But then she pretty much let them know that she was present in my house with people and pretty much described what was going on in my house and then had commentary on it, which left me scratching my head because it was so perfectly described. So it's like, okay, it's clear you were here, got it, but what do you do with that? I mean, what's the purpose of that?
Well, normally in reading work, a spirit will come through, you know, and I'll describe this so that it kind of paints the picture for what I think you're going through. Normally, when a medium is consulted, a spirit will come through, and I'll get an energy, and I'll describe what I'm picking up, and I'll do my little system, and then I'll get this energy, and then I'll have to prove it. And what I'll have to do is I'll have to read the symbols the spirit gives me, and that's evidentiary. And that's exactly what they do. They want to give evidence of who they are, that they indeed are, you know, who they say they are. And then now that the person, the sitter, is getting the good information and accepts this as who this is, then you can carry on and deliver the message. And that's how it goes. You seem to be open to the message. I'm surprised about the continued, yeah, it's me thing going on and where this is going. So I don't know.
I can feel and I can see and I can hear, but I'm still at the stage where it's gobbledygook. It's like, I see somebody, but I don't know who it is. I feel something, but I don't know what it is. I get a message.
Why don't you?
I might be guessing. I don't know.
I would, if it were me. I know you brought up the whole question of why would you use devices. It's cases like this where there's some difficulties, and for whatever reason, you don't fully understand it. Do some paranormal investigation with it. Sometimes they can come through clearer on a device than you'll get with a regular medium, and sometimes it takes both to get the full meaning of what's going on. So this is where the technology can help. So I would really strongly urge you to consider that, and don't give up on it, because she's obviously doing this for a reason, and for whatever reason she didn't feel like talking to me about it.
Well, I know what she wants. I don't think it's in my realm to do what she wants. I think it's up to other people in their lives to do what they want, not for me to tell
you
them.
Then you tell her that. Sit down and have an open conversation, just like we're having now with her in private, and put a tape recorder on and say your piece, and then let it record and let her and play it back and see what you got.
She's clearly listening. She's clearly listening, and she doesn't like what I'm saying.
Well, she's, you know, the trouble with us being human beings here is we have free will, and they may think we need to do certain things. Kathy has this sometimes when I'm working with her. Kathy will talk about, you know, the angels are coming through and they want certain things done. And sometimes, even as perfect as they are, they don't consider the human sensibilities of some of these things. And we have every right to look at how it in fact affects our lives and say, no, by God, you don't just walk in here and tell me I'm going to drop everything and do this thing that you want. Sometimes, you know, you need to, are you asking about what I thought about it? And they get all taken aback. Oh, God. and that's our perfect right to do that. So she may not like it, but that may be the way it is.
It's not that I don't want what she wants. It's just that, you know, she's talking about her own child. And here's the concept. I'm a mother, and I know that if I want my child to do something, it doesn't come because I demand them to do it. They got to kind of want to do it, you know?
Yeah. And it sounds like, I mean, you know, she's trying to work on you to deal with the children issues. And
she's trying to give me a minute to wait them, and I can't do that.
You can't do that. Yeah. I mean, the best you can do is perhaps put them in touch with her and through a medium and who can talk with her, because I certainly can. But but what I'd say is if that's the case, then having them talk with their mother and believe it is her giving the messages, that's the real answer here. And that may be the whole point of why I wasn't able to read her tonight. Maybe we were just supposed to come to this on our own, you know. But whatever is getting in the way of me dealing with her, that's the answer for this. I mean, the children, if they do believe they want to talk to their mother, find a medium or yourself who can read her and pass the messages on and be the telephone.
Right. Well, my concept is I want that for them. I don't want to be the I will be the telephone for anyone, just not them. You know? Because that would put me back in the place of manipulation.
Yeah, I don't read much for my own family at all. I will read perfect strangers, no trouble. But when it comes to, there's a certain ethical standard.
Yeah, because then you feel like you're manipulating them. Right?
Yeah, you can't do that, because if you start reading for, there's times when it's affected my family where I know certain things are going to happen, and I'll tell trusted people in my family who I know won't take information badly, you know, and but that's not the same as walking in and just doing a spot reading and say, oh, and this is going to happen and that. Sometimes it's like, you know, it's like when my dad was passing, you know, and I knew certain things were going on, and I would talk to my mother and say, I saw about 10 spirits today. I think we're getting close to, you know, dad's having real problems. And mom would say, yeah, I think you're right. I saw this many things. And you know, so that's the kind of time when family can trade that kind of information. But, yeah, this is more, hey, day-to-day life stuff. And I would find another medium that she can work with that you two could agree on to then deliver the message to the children.
Okay.
And, you know, go from there. So I really don't know why I can't get her tonight, but, hey, you called and I couldn't get her.
That's all right. Go on to the next caller. I appreciate your opinion.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mary Lou.
All right, thank you. Bye.
All right, bye.
Hey, John.
Yo, chick.
Are you doing a marathon tonight?
I'm going to try to take it out as far as I can. I may extend. I've already got 2 hours. I don't know that I can go any further.
Well, no, because on your show page, it says 24 hours and 9 minutes remaining.
Say what?
On your show page?
You know, you've been saying that to me on Facebook and all that. I've got 1 hour, 8 minutes on the stream here. I'm looking at my board. I've got 1 hour, 8 minutes. So I don't know. Hell, I'm just here just doing my thing, you know?
Yeah, I just thought it was kind of funny. Prove a point that it is weird tonight.
Well, you know, it could be a time dilation effect.
I think it's just me, because everybody else seems to have the right time.
The Bay Area, the truth is, only for the Bay Area will I do the show 24 hours. So you can rest assured I will go the other 23, and I'll have to take potty breaks.
Oh, my gosh. It must be my electromagnetic field or something.
It's the frying pan, woman. It's the frying pan.
It is.
All right. We've got Bianna, I can't even say this name, Bahadi. And then I've got a 575, and I have a 910 caller. So I'm going to speed through here and do a little more. I'm feeling there is a spirit in the room. Hello, whoever you are. Okay, that's interesting. Felt the same energy in. All right, so hello to you, male spirit. Well, hello. Take a seat. You can enjoy this, the clean Studio A. All right, I'm going to bring on DNA Body. Hello?
John?
Yeah.
John, you're all staticky. Is that me?
That person.
Now you're back.
I put them on, and all I had was just the sounds of a probably traffic going by. So I'm going to just skip them, and we'll go to 575. So here we go. 575, you almost are on SoulStream. You are now on SoulStream. What's your name, and where are you from?
I'm Wanda, and I'm from New Mexico.
New Mexico, the place I started at.
Oh, really? Where at?
My father worked out at White Sands, and I was basically, let's just say I started life, as you may guess, in, what was it, Alamogordo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah. So
I'm in Las Cruces.
And then I was sentenced to El Paso, Texas for a while. Enjoyed. And then after that, a wild DC-9 ride later, I was came out to California, and I lost my Texas accent.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I still have my Texas accent.
You know, I really love the way the women sound in that part of the world. I mean, I've been out to New Mexico and out in West Texas, and the women have these really interesting hairdos there, and they're also feminine, and they're just beautiful as hell. I mean, I just love the way they are. And they listen to me talk, and then they'll find out I'm from Texas, and then it's like I'm like right in the family.
So, yes.
Well, Hannah, what can I do for you, Wanda?
Well, I was hoping if you could pick up any spirits around me, if they have any messages, anything like that. Uh-oh, I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm just sitting here. I was just...
Anything like that.
I was sitting off to the side of the mic, drawing my little chart I do for these things.
Okay.
And I have multiple trying to step forward, but I'm trying to go who's the one that's going to... Female energy the strongest. And I'm getting... this is on your mother's side. And I'm picking up... this one's brunette. She's saying the weirdest thing, and I'm trying to... It's like a saying from your part of the world, and I'm looking at my... I'm scratching my head. It sounds like Asta or something like that, but I'm going to just leave it at that. Asta. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
It's, it sounds like Asta, but I kept thinking of Mount Shasta. I'm going, no, it's not Mount Shasta. It's one in California, but I keep hearing Asta like that. And I don't know what that is, if it's a name or something like a saying. I'm just guessing a saying. But is your I'm going to ask this question because it's mother's side. I don't know that it's motherly energy for you. I believe, is your mother still on the planet, right? Your mother is here?
No, she passed away too.
I was afraid to say mother. I was sitting there going, why am I afraid to say the mother?
I know my Aunt Jean just passed away too.
Okay, never volunteer because I got to never do that to the medium. What is the ask? This is in relation to a female energy tied to your mother. I believe at the same level as mother. Was there more than one sister living or past in that family of your mother?
Uh-huh. Yes.
So there's multiple. Who?
Uh-huh.
The name, I'm getting like an AS, like this Asta thing, and I don't know what this is. Texans and Mexicans have the weirdest sense of humor, too. This woman has a whack sense of humor. I mean, I can tell you that. She's completely crazy. let me ask this. Is there more than one? Your mother is passed. The other aunt is passed. Is there another that's passed? A third?
No. Not
third
with her,
is still
with hers.
The third is still alive then.
Uh-huh.
And so there were three?
There were more.
There were more.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I think that there's like five. Is that about right? Five? Why am I getting five? Six?
No, there would be five.
There were five.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what's... One of them was the practical joker of the group. And I don't know that she's the one that's passed.
Uh-huh.
She's still alive. She's still alive. She's the funny one. The serious, more serious one who's passed... would one of the ones, okay, I'm getting initial, one of the ones that passed, and I'm going to say the name Fran because I don't know why, but it sounds like Fran. Is one of them a name that sounds like that? I'm getting
this almost,
name.
The last part is right.
What's that?
The last part is right.
What is the name?
Jan.
Okay, so I'm keying in on the right phonetics then. Her name was Jen?
Jen.
Okay, the part of New Mexico you're in is more rural, correct? You're more rural.
Mm-hmm.
I keep getting I'm getting images of her near horses. Is she a horse person? What's this horse thing?
I always wanted horses. I pretended I was a horse when I was a kid.
Was it, I mean, with her in her life, though, she didn't ride horses. She wasn't around horses then, right?
No. Mm-mm.
What's the horse connection with the family then?
Her youngest sister has horses.
Okay. What's the beauty thing about? Was she, did she do some sort of thing like fashion or beauty or something like this? I mean, I'm trying to make sense of this. I've seen dresses. She's showing me beautiful dresses and wearing beautiful things. And and her in them.
Her and her sister, her the sister that passed, used to make dresses together. And they made wedding dresses.
She had the sister that's alive that has the I'm trying to get what she's showing me here. The sister that's alive that has the funnier sense of humor. What's her name, by the way?
Louise.
Okay, Louise. So Louise had the funnier sense of humor, but Jen, Jen?
Janet.
So Jan has this, was Jan kind of the cohort with her? Was she sort of the straight man to her?
Yes.
Huh?
As the youngest sister?
Yeah, I mean, was Janet, I mean, kind of to Louise, kind of like the Abbott-Costello type relationship? Was she was in on it, but she wasn't the one that did the instigating things?
Yeah.
Because that's sort of the, she stood back and didn't really put herself out there. She let it happen, and then she'd come in and do her bit, and then was in and out of it. And that's kind of the sense of the way the relationship went. She had children, yes?
Yes.
And don't tell me who they are. What is I keep saying libraries. Why are they showing me a book filled library? One of the children, multiple children, yes?
Yes, and you're talking about Jan or Louise?
I'm talking Jan.
Okay, uh-huh. Yeah,
multiple children. And so I'm getting something around books. She's showing book energy with one of the children. And then the other, I'm getting this, the second child, I'm getting speeding tickets. Speeding tickets. Who's the racer? Who's the one that goes like really fast and got a lot of tickets and evidently wants to be speed racer, I guess. What's the speeding child? What's that about?
Let's see.
There's like a car. What I'm being shown are like speeding tickets, cars. There's a strong racing reference with one of her children. Is there like, pardon me?
I can't think of. I mean, I've never had a ticket. I'm the second child.
Well, it's in relation to, you know, to Janet's children. So think about it. Just file that away. So, because I know they showed it to me for a reason, and it will probably be an aha moment after. So put that one away. The library reference and the book reference, I'm still mystified with that. So she's just trying to show me enough to prove to you that it's her. That's
okay.
The thing. She's gonna let drop that because she's having a little trouble. When Janet passed, was this surprising? Was this surprising passing?
Yes.
It was like
fast.
Is this between 5 and 10 years since she passed?
No, not that long.
Okay, is this, because the reason I'm asking that, my lamp just turned a perfect shade of purple, highly spiritual. She, Reason I'm sure. So, I mean, we're talking the 3 to 5? It's like it's, you know, somewhere in there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The thing is, she's... Have the children talked about how she passed? Has there been discussion with the children? Have they accepted this? That all this has happened?
Yes.
Has she attempted to make appearances? Because that's the kind of the sense I get of this, that she's tried to make sure that they know she's okay.
Yes.
She has made so, and that's died down since then. I mean, she did her thing, and then she's kind of backed off, because that's
uh-huh.
the kind of the. All right.
What kind of stuff was she showing you that she was doing for the appearances?
Pardon me?
What kind of is she showing any kind of what she was doing in her appearances to get her attention?
I'm asking this to see what she gets comes back with here. What's the thing? Were there? I'm all right. I'm just gonna go with what I get. I've learned if I edit it, I'll make it worse. So, okay. Was your family kind of a sick, twisted humor family?
Yes, very twisted.
I've had this problem myself. When spirits sometimes want to get their attention, people they'll come into the shower with you, and I'm getting like she did things in the bathroom to get attention, and the other thing that I keep getting is there were things that were going on in one of the main living areas and near the kitchen, and they seem to like the kitchen because that's where a lot of it happens that way. They'll be around the kitchen and they'll move things around. But I'm trying to make sense of the one final thing she's showing me. This was nighttime that this stuff would happen. And she's showing me what? What are you doing? This is outdoors. And I can't make sense of what this outdoor thing is she's doing, but she's doing some appearing outdoors. What was it she was doing? Because, I mean, I can't make sense of the outdoor thing, but was there a bathroom thing going on?
The baby's toilet trainer seat, it sang music all the time. If it was splash with water, and nobody was ever in there, and it was going off constantly.
Okay, I was like,
yep.
Did she ever make any appearances in the kitchen? A lot of times, I know they'll go in and do things with kitchen appliances and things to do with dining room and things that the traditional family gathering spots. So they're going to be opportunistic in what they can affect. Was there any reports of like can openers or things, you know, objects disappearing, things like that?
I can't think of anything in the kitchen.
Yeah,
not in the restroom. She was always in the restroom.
Okay, so it was a bathroom. It was a bathroom,
uh-huh.
bathroom fixture thing. I'll ask her what she's wanting to pass on here. The passing was she's referring back to her passing.
Mm-hmm.
The passing was sudden, as she alluded to me. I don't know what it was, but I'm going to... This was not an accident. It was not accidental death. I mean, I'm not getting accident like car accident. I mean, is this a disease thing?
Do you want me to tell you what she died of?
Yeah. Was she sick? I mean, was that?
It was her heart just suddenly gave out.
And they don't know why.
No, I mean, it was, she was way up there.
She was what?
She was already in her 80s when she passed.
All right. you know, because, I mean, she returned back to the passing, and she's very common sense, and she's looking at it and going, why are you also sad about this, especially at the time this happened? Why, you know, she'd actually not been wanting to be around. She'd actually was sort of thankful to be done with this. Was her husband already had passed?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the thing that I'm getting with her is that she was really just tired of the whole thing. And it had been getting a little harder for her at the end there. The thing that is striking to me with her is how graceful she is. She's actually very, she was very kind.
Yes.
You know, deep down in the heart. And probably sometimes a little too kind, but always had the open heart thing going on, literally the open heart. And up to the time she wanted it to stop, and she transitioned just fine. She made it over just fine. Who is the young man in the family who's one of the things she's trying to show me is a young man who's having some trouble with schooling. What is this trouble? Who is the one that's is there a younger man who's like in the teenage years, who's being a little bit difficult?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's a worry about that from her. And she's... Is he being a bit of a knucklehead? That's kind of the way she's showing... she has a message for him.
Okay.
And you're supposed to pass it on. Was she known for being rather colorful with her cussing? Because I'm not going to cuss on air per se, but was she rather direct in her messages?
Yes.
Because I'm about to be rather direct. She's basically telling. Is he the thing that I'm getting with him is that he's not even listening to parental energy very well, right?
No, not at all.
She said she basically to tell him that to get off his ass and get back to doing things correctly and honor his parents, or she's going to haunt his ass.
I tell him I'm going to do too.
That's sort of the, and she will do it in a way that will get the point across. She's not at all happy with what he's doing, and he's definitely in the wrong. Did he have a closer relationship with her?
No, actually, not at all. He never met her.
What? She has concern about him, though.
Yeah.
So there was some concern about this. Was this a problem before she passed?
No, he just started it in the last, this year.
Well, she's watching, and believe me, it does concern her. There seems to be some other connection there that's going on between the two of them. If they weren't connected like this real close in life, I don't know what this is. Maybe it's a karmic thing or whatever, but she's basically not happy with what he's doing. And just the fact that we talked about it on air and that he has to listen to this and get his ass, you know, literally out of his rear end and get back to work and start doing the right things, I don't know that it's going to do much good. But, you know, for her to make this effort to come through the other side and basically get him to try to turn around is extraordinary. So, you know, he's definitely in trouble, and it's got the attention on that side. There's a fatherly energy. I'll just say it. Do you have American Indian blood in your family?
Lots of it. Uh-huh.
Is there a grandfather, American Indian grandfather energy? I don't know which side of the family this is, but he steps forward.
Okay.
And he's another one that's watching this. Is this young man partially Native American?
Yes, uh-huh.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
He's in big trouble. They're not happy with him. And he's going to get the living hell scared out of him if he doesn't get his gears in order. They're going to make sure of that. The family can rest assured the other side's definitely involved in this. So there's more than one. She's trying to be nice about it. He ain't so nice about it. He's going to kick his butt. So interesting. Yeah, you have a very interesting family.
Oh, very. I mean, everybody in my family's got their story.
Who's the heavy partier?
Still living?
Yeah. No, I'm getting actually multiple parties. Are you guys, like, really into your parties?
Part of the family is very big on parties. The other one's very big on school.
On what? Oh, on school?
On school education.
Okay. You know, all things in good measure, you know, you have to have a little celebration to make life work. And then there's, you know, but you have to work for the parties, you know, you have to build up. She's talking about balance, and then he's just he's a hard-hearded, tough guy.
Could you see what his name is? Can you get a name from him?
All I see is D.
D.
And I don't know like a D name. And it starts with like something like a D. I think I'm just going to stick to it, my guns, and say D. But I don't know. He has like a second name, but that's going to be some sort of tribal name, and I can't even begin to fathom that. I'm just going with D, though, and I don't know if it's a nickname or what, but what are some of the grandfather names that you have from that side of from the family? I mean, because I don't even know what side he belongs on. He just steps forward. He's just like out there, and I don't know where to put him. I mean, but he's definitely connected to your family.
Okay.
It's almost like he's like, I would almost say not in the family, but, you know, definitely connected to it. Almost as like, is he like an elder person, chief guy?
He was before he left Mexico, yes. But if I'm thinking of the right person.
What's his name?
Well, the one that starts with a D would be David Pinckney. But the one that this sounds like is Manuel.
Why don't you check to see if Manuel has like a nickname that you don't know about?
Okay.
And let's see. But Daniel Petey, what's the name?
No, it was David Pinckney.
David Pinckney. And is
he?
And he's passed.
Mm-hmm.
Was he rather? Could he be a tough character himself?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd kind of lean that way.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not putting up with this. He really is not happy with where this is going. Is there a connection between him and the young man?
Like a big time. I mean, remove several ancestors, several generations.
Okay. Well. The way this is coming off to me is that it's an elder, kind of like the elder tribe family relationship where they're just concerned about the fact, they're looking at him and saying, hey, this guy's going off course. You know, basically, we all come together, we're going to fix this. And they're going to make sure that he does what he does. He's got the attention of a lot of people, you know, from Native American and non-Native American, you know, on the other side, pulling together, going, we need to fix this guy and deal with it. Try to get him to turn around, otherwise he's going to have some very difficult lessons. They don't know, they're not even sure that they can turn him around, but they're going to try. And they may get rather dramatic, and they may make some appearances on him in ways that he's not going to believe.
Been seeing one, and I want to verify if that's him or not. This is a younger man that he keeps seeing inside their house.
Say again?
I'm trying to see if my grandson Israel has seen especially one spirit that's always protecting his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe that's who you're talking about. He was young, though. Not. His name was D. A diamond. Is he coming through?
I'm going to go with the Petey, the David guy, that sounds more like it. I mean, it's really the thing that I'm getting with regard to the young man is, has he been? Is there a strong drug component to this?
Yes.
And drinking. Yeah. Has he already complained about having seen some strange things?
Yes.
You might want to pull him aside and say it's going to get a lot weirder if he doesn't quit.
Okay.
Yeah, because the place he lives, he's also nearby you guys in the rural part of New Mexico, correct?
Yes.
Tell him that the thing that happened to him in the truck was no accident, and they're not showing me what that is, but that he saw what he saw, and it was the real deal, and it was them getting the point across.
Okay.
And, I don't think he's talked about that one yet, so they just wanted to get that point across. I'm the telephone. I'm passing it on. For you, I know I'm taking my time on this one, but for you, I'm trying to... There's a female that's coming in for you. You as a child, you have a sister?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is there more than one sister? Because I'm getting two sisters.
Yes, I had two sisters.
All right. Both are alive?
Uh-huh.
Did one of them lose a child?
Yes. Oh.
Oh, boy. Was this a male child?
Yes.
Okay, I'm onto it. Did this happen in the fairly recent past? I mean, I'm not getting numbers here, but is it comparatively recent that this act occurred?
No, it's been a while.
Like how many years?
I'd say about maybe 12, 13.
Okay. Reason why is because is she still holding on to this?
Yes.
All right. It's like rah, rah, rah in her heart still to this all this day. That's why I asked, because I thought, oh, God, this must be a recent passing, because the way she's coming through, the way I'm sensing what she's going through, it's really still eating at her really hard. You know, it's kind of like what I'm – see, my father, he just passed in February, and, I mean, I thought it would get easier. You know, this last week really sucked, you know. I mean, I was just walking around going, oh, Dad, why? Why the hell are you gone, you know? And he was coming through and just going, it's okay. Don't, you know, just get through it. You know, there's nothing you could do to change it. And he would come through for me. And I feel better now, but some days it's just really rough, you know. But for her, I sensed his agony. Was this death not, again, this was another one that wasn't expected. This was like was this a sudden passing for the young man, you know, this young child?
Yeah, it was a very weird passing.
I just don't think she's really over it. And did she clam up at some point and just not talk to anybody?
Yes.
She, you know, are we talking between 5 and 10 years old on this young man?
No, he was already he was already in college.
He's in college?
Uh-huh.
Did she, the way I'm picking up the way that she sees him, that must be the way it is, because, I mean, what I'm getting is that she sees him like it was a little kid. Was he found dead? He was just found dead? I mean, was that it?
No, actually.
What is this thing about him being just there and gone? There and gone.
Well, he was. Can I tell you the story or not?
Is that go ahead.
Okay, he was trying to get his lifeguard license. certification, and he had 250-pound weights in his hand, and he dived to the bottom, and he just kind of stood there at the bottom looking up at his friends. And he just stayed there, and he stayed there, and his friends thought he was just pulling a joke because he was always a joker. And
yeah.
He just, his heart gave out, and he just died with his eyes open looking at his friends. It was...
Yeah, that's what I got. There and gone, there and gone. Just, I'm there, I'm gone.
Yeah,
and
one breath to the next.
Okay, the way that I get this is it's her baby, so she's going to see him like she would see a small child, even though he's a grown man. The way that I think it's him coming through is she needs to know that he's perfectly fine and to get that message through to her. She needs to hear that he's okay. You were talking about the diving thing with him. Was this some sort of official type testing for some sort of, you know, career job thing, or?
Yes,
He was doing what he wanted, you know. He was going for it. He was living his life according to his terms. There's nothing that could have been done differently. This is the way he chose to go out. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't know what's going on and that he is around the family. Did the father go into denial? The impression I get is father is in somewhat of a denial, too, about all this.
Yeah, he wasn't even around.
Did he just sort of, was he around when this all happened?
No, he wasn't.
See, but he doesn't really, the thing I'm saying is he's just sort of not even dealing with it.
No, he never did, no.
Okay. Is she since in another relationship, primary relationship, or if she's not? Okay, she is. He has a particular request that, and this is something I've seen before. He would like to be part of family events and to let it be known that he is around for these, and would like to be acknowledged at these events. And that he's not something, he's just not a quantity not to be talked about. And it's time to speak openly about him and make him a fixture at the events, even if they just put a picture up there at the table. It's something we do with our people. When we have a passing and someone that we love is gone, we talk about them at quite a bit. Throughout, even like Dad. I mean, we still talk about Dad every day. We don't just put it away. But the other thing, too, is for all the others who passed at Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, Easter, things like that, when we have the different family celebration dinners, we actually put a chair out for them, and they can come sit with us at the table and listen to us tell stories and be part of what our event is. And so that's kind of the sense I get of him talking about this, that he's not gone, that there's no reason for him her to consider him dead because he never did die.
Okay.
So it, and she needs to cry about it more and really understand that, you know, it's okay to open up and really get it out and talk with you, but he is around. He's trying to give me a little more evidence of him. It's like, I know you're there, dude. was he Mr. Big Shot? Was he Mr. I'm Cool Guy, Mr. Sunglasses, Mr. Hey, Look at Me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's him. What's the thing? Did he have like the big? Did he have like a fancy-ass car, sports car type thing? What was the thing with the car?
I don't know. I'll have to ask my sister.
Yeah. What I'm feeling like, what type of car did he drive?
I don't even know. I mean, they still live in Texas, not New Mexico.
Okay. Well, when he was doing the testing and all that, he was Mr. Look at me and look at the fancy things I have and da, 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 da. And he shows me this car. So I don't know what the reference was to that, whether he was getting a sports car when he passed or he already had one. And, you know, he's really proud of his car, but that's what he shows me. I'm getting color red, so I don't know what that's about.
Okay.
Was there electronics background with him? Did
he
have was he like interested in theoretical electronics, things like that?
Yes.
Okay, I'm on to him then. So, you know, these are the little pieces of evidence that paint the picture of this is who this is. And, you know, he's coming through to make sure that she understands he's not dead. He never did die. You know, you need to drill that into her head because she needs to hear it and to get on with things, because I feel like she's holding back in life and she's walking around in a kind of a perpetual, oh my God, you know, what happened? And is this, she's blaming herself a lot. Since I get in this, could have done something and could have recognized it earlier in life. And it was just one of those things. That's how he chose to go out. He did what he came here to do and left. And she has nothing to say in the matter. I'm really putting a lot of time on this reading because it's real important, you know. And as far as using you, they are so grateful you called to do this. So the whole family steps forward and says, thank you for doing this. And, one last voice stimps. Reminds me of my Uncle Frank. So who I thought of, right? Either this man's name is Frank or I'm pinning to my Uncle Frank, who is a cowboy. But this name of this man, my Uncle Frank was a very huge, huge cowboy. I mean, this dude ran a cattle ranch out in Napa. We had a 24,000 acre ranch at one time. We owned of Napa, my family did. And it was just huge. And this guy in your family is like that. This is a big, tall cowboy. Okay? And he just steps forward and says, hi. Hi, Wanda. I don't know. Is there a man named Frank Cowboy?
Not Frank.
All right. Who's the cowboy dude?
It sounds like Harold.
What's that?
It sounds like Harold.
Harold?
Uh-huh. That would be the young man you were talking about. That would be his grandfather.
Was his grandfather kind of up there in the 70s, 80s when he died?
Uh-huh.
Age? Okay. The big belt, the whole bit. Yeah, the big giant belt thing.
Yeah, real cowboy, yes.
Yeah, he was a real cowboy. He kicked the you-know-what off his boots when he went in the door and the wife yelled at him. Did he know you?
Yes.
So he was kind of funny with you? Kind of, ha-ha, you guys got along great?
Yes.
Okay. This guy's whacked, man. he's a character. Did he pinch a part of your body when he would greet you? Did he like when you? Was he like a big hugger type guy?
He was always hugging. Yes, always hugging.
Did he pinch you a certain way?
He was kind of like, he was so tall, he would fold himself over you, so you don't even know what he was doing.
Okay, well, I felt like, I mean, I was looking, I'm going, you're pin, at first I thought, is he pinching you in the ass? I'm going, geez, dude, he takes a lot. And then it's like, no. And I'm just seeing, like, just, you know, grabbing you. And it's hard sometimes to read what they're doing, but that's basically it. He's just very affectionate to you. And so there's just this wanting to let you know he's around you. And he's still around. So he just wants you to know that he loves you. So,
okay.
All right. So you happy?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much.
All right, my dear. It was an honor reading for you.
Yeah, my heart's almost like, yeah.
All right. Hey, you make sure to get that through you know, all these messages through, because they really used to use a telephone tonight. So.
Okay, yes, I'm with her right now.
Yeah, I'm passing the ball over. Cause this is a football game, you know, so just pass it on.
Okay, I appreciate you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. God bless.
Bye-bye. Nice. Bye.
You know, I know I take the time to... let's see.
Hello?
Whoops. I think I hit the wrong control here. Well, I got, I'm going to hit that one. I'm going to hit that one. I lost my train of thought, and there we go. So now we're back to normal here. You know what? I am like a pretzel right now, guys, and I've been reading nonstop here. Oh, Nancy's back. Hi, Nancy.
Hello.
So I'm going to take a one-minute break so I can stand up and stretch because my butt is permanently planted to the seat right now, and I need to stretch and crack all the bones. So I'll tell you what. We're going to take a one-minute break and then come back and do some readings. So I'm going to play a little bumper music, and you are listening to SoulStream on blogtalkradio.com. Here we go. Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to SoulStream on blogtalkradio.com. Whenever I play that, that is for my great-grandfather, McHenry. He was a legend in the FBI and one tough SOB. He actually got run over by a couple of criminals and knocked over a cliff and had to crawl back up to the top. Took him 3 days, and he was pissed. And when he got into the hospital, he called in his boys, and they took care of business. And back in the days when before there was all this feel-good pull them together and everybody have a love fest in the legal system thing. When he sent the boys after a bunch of wrongdoers, they paid. They had a bad day. So here's to you, Gramps. Anyway, yeah, it was a little different time back then. You could do some things. He actually got in a fight at 90 years old. He was at a dance, and a 50-year-old guy picked a fight with him, and he cleaned the guy's clock. 90-year-old man. Yeah, it was a bad move to piss my grandfather off. Not a good thing. Tell you what, let's see. We got 24-some-odd minutes. I knew I put a lot of time into those readings, but it was worth it. But I've got three, so we'll do some speed readings. So have one question for the remaining time here, and we're going to go through these three readings, and then I'll try to space it out to about 6-7 minutes per reading and see if we can kind of make it work that way. So, Nancy, if you're conscious on the time, if we can get this to, like, you know, 11:15 for this one. Just kind
I'm going to try.
Yeah,
I got weird time again.
Yeah, I know you're, like, in a different zone there. But you can do that for me. I'll take the 910 caller, and we'll just work our way through, and then I'll see what we can do.
I'll
okay,
give you a caller at 11:15.
Hello?
Raj, 910, you're on SoulStream. Hi, what's your name?
Lori.
Hi, Lori, where are you at?
I'm in North Carolina.
North Carolina. I've never been to North Carolina, and by God, I got to go.
I'm actually in Fayetteville and working my way to get to Asheville because I'm not happy here in Fayetteville. It's much better in Asheville. I've been there, and I'm like, okay, and I need to go back. The energy was too good for me not to go back.
You know what? I just went to move in my chair, and I knocked my earphone jack out. So I'm sitting here going, there's someone that's talking, and I'm not hearing the damn thing she's saying. So let's try that again.
Okay. I don't know what part you missed, but I'm in Fayetteville and working my way to Asheville.
Right.
I've
that part.
Been here since October, and I'm not working. And been trying to find work, but now I had to go to Asheville to help a friend out, and I fell in love with Asheville, so I'm working my way to move there.
If you know, the thing with what's right for you, when you find it, you know,
right.
You know, it's like it's when things are getting hard, and it's you know you're really being put to the test, and nothing's coming.
Right now,
it's generally basically the universe saying you're not supposed to be here.
You know, it's funny. I made a comment on Facebook about that, and everybody's made a point to it because I'm like, I'm trying very hard not to stress. It's very hard not to get worried about it and let go and just trust it, because through my life, I had experiences. I know when things start to get tough, you know something's about ready to do a major shift in your life.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and it's not to say that sometimes we don't need to go through tough things. Sometimes
right.
I think we go through these because it's part of our soul growth stuff.
Right.
But there are times it's like when I'm at work, sometimes I'll have a task I'm going to do, and it fights me the whole way, and I finally just go to hell with it. I'll move on to something else. And then that other thing I go on to turns out to be really easy, and it was the thing I should have been doing to begin with. And then I find out later that the thing I was trying to do, it was too early to do it, or someone else was meant to do it. And yeah, it's just the way things work. You know, you just, wow.
When I was in New York before I came down here, I was guided to come here. I sold my house, everything in my house pretty much, and moved down here to a place I'd never been. And to a house I didn't even see. I trusted my friend to look at it, and it got pretty scary to do, and things just weren't working. It's like one thing after another was happening, and that's how I kind of recognized the signs that I needed to start letting go and just go in with my gut and follow the guidance, because all the signs were there. It's a matter of having your eyes open and following.
Yeah,
and
that's it. When you finally get that sign that, hey, that's not the right thing and the right place to be. It's
right.
Like whenever I'm in northern Arizona, for example, I feel like I'm at home. And all my family looks at me like I'm, you know, completely a whack job. But when I'm in northern Arizona, I feel, especially near Prescott and Sedona and in that general about 100-mile ellipse, Flagstaff, I'm really exploring that. I go out there every year or so. I'll drive around out there and really kind of get to know the area, because when I retire out, that's where probably I'm supposed to move this whole, you know, kit and caboodle. And it feels right to me, you know, and I trust those instincts. I mean, they're there for a reason. There's something there for me that I know. I know it's not the right time now. I'm supposed to finish this out here in California, but you trust your instincts. I mean, those things are there for a reason, and God put those there. You know, you're supposed
to
listen to
those. It's just a matter of getting there, and it's all about patience, and everything's coming to a close. I mean, it's just kind of starting to pile up on me, and I'm like, I have a deadline. I want to be there, and it's just coming crunch time, and I've been getting a little nervous about the whole thing, because I'm trying to find work and all this stuff, and my son's got school starting soon, and I'm trying to, I think I've been trying to hold on to it too much, and that's what got a hold of me.
Are you being artificial on the deadline, or is it just sort of an arbitary pick?
Unless my son, I've been debating homeschooling compared to putting him back in the school system. So maybe he's not meant to go back into the school system, because I ran across something today about homeschooling, so just kind of fell across it. So only right reason my deadline is about being there is to make sure he was there before school started so he'd be comfortable.
Yeah.
Might be something I just need to let go of and not stress so much about it.
You're a mother. You're supposed to stress. you're supposed to do all that stuff. You're doing the worrying for them, and you're doing a good job. That's a sign that you really care, you know.
Yeah.
And you're trying to make all the right decisions. Sometimes, you know, it can get overwhelming. And, you know, just look at the stuff that's important right now, you know, and, you know, take it day by day, because, you know, it's funny. I mean, I lived 5 years of my father's passing, you know, and all the things that went on. And you know, if I tried to see the totality of everything, I would have gone crazy. And when I let go and just went with the process, it all just unfolded and it all happened. And it was the scariest thing in the world. I didn't know what was coming out of my mother, you know. And after Dad died, Mom became very ill, and you know, we had a life-threatening thing with her for, you know, 2 months. So when you learn to trust and just surf with it, you can ride that wave, and it gets easier, but it's never totally comfortable, and I don't think it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
so,
well, it's a part of another. It's like if you keep it, it's a part. Oh, I can't speak. About letting go and trusting. That was a big thing I learned the first time, and I caught myself getting stuck in that same energy when I know that the time is coming for me to move. I just don't know exactly when. I'm just getting anxious because I'm unemployment. I'm coming up to my last weeks of unemployment, and it's through New York, and I can't get a hold of nobody for extension. So I'm like, and I'm a single parent. See, so all this stuff started building up on for me, and instead of me just not worrying about it and trusting, because my gut tells me everything's going to work out, it always works out. But I got overwhelmed this weekend. So
well, don't give up on doing the stuff that you're trying to do. Keep on trying to make them contact. Keep on pushing at it.
Yeah.
Just keep at it and be a pest. That's kind of the thing that I'm getting.
So they
sense
have their
here.
Automated system set up, so no matter what buttons you hit, you're still in the menu.
And oh, really?
Yeah, and New York's messed up that way. And so if you have their extension, type it in. So I start punching numbers. I'm sorry, please check your extension again and call back again. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So I found a place where you can email them, and I haven't heard nothing back. So Monday, I'm going to just keep pushing buttons till I get an operator of some sort. It's just crazy how you can't talk to nobody these days. And I don't have time to waste and mess around with trying to get a hold of them. So I'm determined. But that's one reason why I'm calling in, to see if there was usually my grandma. My grandma is like a guide of mine. And I was just wanting to see if you had a message for me tonight from somebody, maybe her or whoever.
I was going to say your grandmother's saying, press one for me in spirit, press two for me here on earth.
Really?
I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. Is it the type of work that you were doing in this New York thing? What is this? Because I can't even really connect to this. It sounds like office-y type stuff. I mean,
I'm a computer geek. I was an IT manager for the company. Actually, all of IT, everything to deal with the computer world with the company, I did it all.
And this New York office is being that difficult for you for a company. You're an IT manager, and they're not wanting to talk. I mean, I'm kind of confused here.
No, I left that company and came to North Carolina, and it was like. they weren't being very nice to me, broken promises and so forth. So I had to leave because I couldn't afford living up there in the state, my status the way it was. I mean, because the income was not sufficient enough to support my family, right? And I told them that, but they weren't willing to give me the raises they promised. So I said, okay, it's time for me to go. So and this is about manifestation, I'm telling you. I got myself here by selling all my stuff in my house, enough to get me my trailer and stuff, but I ended up with the company truck, my computer, and my cell phone. And I'm not with the company anymore. They gave me the truck. I manifested that one.
Wow.
Yes, I was very powerful. So it's just a matter of getting myself back in that same routine. But they let me go early, so I lost my job in January. So I've been unemployed since January, which is not normal for me. But in the industry that I'm in, everybody requires you to have these certifications, which cost about $150 a pop, and they want at least three of them before even hiring me around here, because it's all government jobs here in Fayetteville. So when I went to Asheville, I was meant to take my friend up there because I fell in love with it and the energy up there, and a lot of spiritual stuff started happening to me there. A lot of the animals and stuff. I started learning more about animal totems just from being there because of what was being presented to me. So I know I have to go back. I just have to. That's the place to be.
I don't even think you really need me to read so much. I mean, your instincts are good. If you're feeling that, I mean, it's definitely there.
I was probably hoping for maybe a timeline. Give me an idea of what.
Oh, I think that the sooner the better.
It needs to be. To me, it needs to be now. But,
yeah,
you know,
I'm just thinking whatever you can do to make it happen, you know, definitely. It's that if you feel that good about it, there's a reason for it. Now, don't just take it because I said it. It's got to be, it's right for you. And then the other thing is just really look at the reality of it. Do a balance sheet. It's one thing for spirit to say something. It's another to do the balance sheet and say, okay, what is this going to cost me to do this? What are the risks? and, you know, weigh it out. You know, use those skills you have as an IT manager. You know, that I work in IT myself, so, I mean, I'm constantly having to make these kind of value judgments. Getting back
to
your
matter of me getting a job before I get there, I think that might, well, maybe not. Hold on, I don't want to put those words out there. I don't want to be tied to the fact of one or the other, so, you know.
You have a friend there that took you there and showed you some things, right?
No. Well, my friend, which she's not my friend anymore, but is my neighbor.
Okay.
Her husband had a heart attack, and that's why we went up there, because she got transferred to the VA hospital, and she had no way there. So I took her up in my truck, gave her transportation there, and stayed with her and took care of her while her husband was in the hospital. So I don't know nobody in Asheville. But I have been networking through LinkedIn through Asheville, trying to find work and so forth that way.
You're doing all the right stuff. I just feel like you're going to get a good connection there. Just keep doing what you're doing and follow your instincts and your heart. I don't think that, you know, it's funny because, I mean, I've done a lot of computer training. I got 30-plus years. I'm starting to date myself here.
Going on 20.
You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I've seen it all, and I look at it now, and it's like, you know, I know that I could walk in and get a job without too much trouble, you know, with the background I have, certifications or not. It's funny. I mean, I'm near Sacramento, so, you know, big government town, same kind of thing, but there's a lot of industry out there that doesn't require it. If you can get away from the government, the G-man type jobs,
right.
You could get into private industry, and you will probably have a lot better luck there. That's just me.
That's why I'm trying to go, like, well, because, you know, I'm just not meant to be here anymore. You know, it's just the energy is dead here for me, so I know it's time to go. And go ahead.
Was grandmother? I keep just returning to her. Was grandmother? She's Eastern Seaboard up near New York. Was that part, that's the part of the world you're from?
Minnesota.
Okay. Was she?
She was all born. She came through. Her family came through Minnesota because they were Danish, but she was in Missouri.
She was in Missouri. Okay, because I was trying to pin down where she's from. I keep seeing plants around this woman, and was she a big plant person or something? Plants, flowers? Was there plants?
She stayed with my aunt. And, yeah, there was a lot of plants at my aunt's house. I don't know if that was grandma or if that was my aunt.
Okay. Was she forever out there? Was she more outdoors than indoors person?
I'm not for sure.
Okay, well, I'm sensing.
I asked my mother that.
The thing I'm getting is she really didn't like to be, quote, in all the time. That was more outdoorsy kind of person and
active. Well, that's
active.
Me, too, so I wouldn't be surprised with that.
All right.
I spent a lot of time when I was younger, but I don't remember a lot of those times, so, you know.
Talk to your mother about some of this, because some of what I'm going to tell you is she went. Your grandmother went through a similar time in her life when the choices weren't so easy, and she had to buck up and face all these things. And what you're doing is incredibly brave, according to her. She knows that you're going to get through this, and that you'll make the right decisions. And even if you were to fall on your butt, you're going to have enough wisdom to do whatever it takes to get through it and get back up on your feet. And you've been doing great. If anything, she's saying you're being too hard on yourself.
I hear that one awful lot.
And she's, you two were very close. I mean, you know, because you talk about, you know, she's the guide for you. She's been gone a long time, right? I mean, it's been a while.
Yes.
Did she? You didn't sell everything.
No. I had one trailer full of stuff that I brought with me.
There was something that she gave you that you still have.
Her dishes, what's left of them.
Is that the only thing you have of hers?
There was a ring she gave me, but I didn't realize. I ended up selling it for money because I needed it in New York, but nothing else that I can think.
All right, I'm just.
What is it?
Did she take you aside when you were growing up? I mean, you spent time with her quite a bit.
Yes.
And did she ever, in the frustrating times when you were a teenager, growing up years, the thing I keep getting is she was like kind of the one you really confided with and talked about stuff with, you know, boys, orcs, all that, you know. You would ask questions and she would tell you things about life, right? I mean, I'm just getting this sense of her pulling you in. You two could talk about pretty much about anything.
I don't remember some of my childhood, so I don't know
you don't,
for sure.
Okay, well, the sense I get of her is that she's pretty open with you about whatever.
I've been told that a lot of my who I am today is because of her and what she's taught me.
Do you have memory loss?
Yes, I do.
Traumatic event?
I had abuse in my childhood, and I think that's what's tied to it.
Okay. I'm just going to keep going with what she had. She's talking about she gave you something when you two, towards the end when she, do you remember when she passed?
It was in early 90s. Mm-hmm.
But you remember that part, right? Your
mm-hmm.
memory loss.
You
were there when she passed away?
No.
I've seen her a few days before she passed. That's what I mean. You were around her in the final days. Was there awareness on her part that she was passing?
Well, if she was holding on, and she was kind of not with it. It took me about 15 minutes to get her to recognize who I was when I went to visit her.
Okay.
And then a few days later, my nephew showed up and she passed. She was only holding on just to see him because everybody else, we thought she was going to pass. She fell and broke both of her shoulders, thought that she was going to. She just knew it because she'd seen the angels were there with her, and she just kept saying, I'm not going to wake up when I go to sleep. So everybody came and said their goodbyes, but he was away in the military and trying to get to her and ended up to delay. It was a month later, and they ended up having to put her in a nursing home. And she just wasn't quite in her right mind. And it was very hard for me to see her where I made her something and took it to her. Oh, that's what I ended up with. I made a bird cage and put a bird in it and so forth and took it to her in the nursing home because she loved birds.
And you still have that?
Not no more. It got lost in my moves, but I did it. I had it for a long time.
Okay, then she's she took the time to refer to this thing, and I'm going, what is this thing? The thing I'm getting here is, number one, she's incredibly tough. And for anybody to go through that and last that long, and I'll stave it off until she could get through with promises she made to deal with, you know, seeing a loved one before she passes on, that's toughness. I mean, that's the epitome here. That's the lesson here. So, you know, what you're going through, you're still here, you're still vital, you're still alive, you've got your child, and you're going to be fine. And she just knows she's there with you the whole way on this, okay? And you've got some internal work to do, too, because this memory loss thing, she's referring to that and saying you've got some stuff you got to face down the road, too. Okay. And you'll deal with that. But first things first, you need to take care of your living situation and you trust your instincts, do the right things. And if you fall, get up and look at that and go, that's a hole I'm not going to fall in again. That's kind of the way she's coming across with us. So I'm just passing
it
on.
Who's always been straightforward. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's
no nonsense about it. The one thing that she wants you to know is she's always with you. She's always with you. So just look when you go to bed at night, just say goodnight, Grandma. You know, because she's there.
I have a plaque up on my wall, and when you walk in the door, it's a picture of her and candles and stuff, and she's come through once before for me and thanked me for that.
Okay, and just to let you know, everybody, we're going to lose the stream in 30 minutes. I've had a great show. It's good to be back on the air. Nancy didn't pop in. She took off and left me. Anyway, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. I'll try it here. Angelic, Hazel Eyes, Bright, Castle 407, Cherry, David, Earthbound Angel, got JB34, Gina Marie, Mary Lou Who, Paranormal something, Rep, Sick, I can't even hear that one, the Middleton X David, Wanda, and Zeke Carey. And see, we just lost stream. So you're still on, and we're recording. So, hey, thanks for coming on. Yeah.
Thanks so much.
John, I'm here, but my computer screen froze, and I've been having problems.
Oh, I was sitting there, and I looked up and went, it's like 11:30.
Yeah, I was sending you little messages.
And
but,
I had the board up, and I didn't see the I had it covering the screen with the the chat room. So I'm sorry. Sometimes the chat room can get really distracting when I'm reading. So I'll just do that. So I'm not looking at it, and I can just look above the screen, and it's gonna. I just go off in my own zone when I'm reading. So chat room, sometimes I'll see something pop up, and it takes me right out of where I'm at with the spirit that I'm talking with. So, okay. All right. So, hello, dear. We love you. Please get a frank time next time it hit me on the head.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Well, hey, for you, my friend, that's, you know, with the North Carolina thing.
Lori. Yep.
Yeah, Lori, I'm sorry, I didn't write it down. Just trust your instincts. I mean, you're doing good, and she's with you on this, okay?
Someone in the chat room, Tina, said, I see the caller move in the first week of September.
That would be about, I would say that's possible. Yeah, I'd say about right. The big thing is just get in and do all the necessary.
I got
legwork.
A lot of work to do. I got to keep doing the networking and work on that sort of stuff. And I've been seeing this guy. He's like my best friend, and I got really mixed up within that. And lately, I've been dealing with some heavy energy with that, so I've kind of lost focus. And since this weekend, things have shifted and. We're kind of like not talking at the moment. I think it's a separation that needs to be done at the moment anyway, because I need to focus on what I need to do instead of worrying about all that.
Yeah, you got a priority, and it's a little one.
Right, this one's a big one, and it's funny how it's all happening, and I was so worried about that, and then finally I just realized, when I realized I didn't have much time left on my unemployment, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm wasting my time with this. This is... It'll be what it's going to be, and I can't change it. So I just got to leave it and let go of that energy. Focus.
Yeah, the one thing I will say is that you may find yourself having to take something that maybe won't be quite what you would like to start with, but it will open doors. And that's
the
message I'm getting.
Okay, I appreciate that. Because I'm willing to do about anything to get me there right now, any type of work or something just to get me there.
I think you're going to be fine. Just you've got the right priorities, and you're a can-do person, so I think you're going to be fine, Lori.
All right, thank you.
John?
Okay.
John, so there was somebody in the chat room that was saying that the FBI is looking for people who do computer work really bad.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, there you go. Yeah, you've got 20-some-odd years?
I have going on 20 years, yeah. I have a high skill set, put it that way.
Well, check with the FBI.
Check with them. I mean, they're a great employer, and, you know, they've got, I think that they would be, you know, don't be so willing to just say that, you know, just because you have certain certifications. If you go in and sell it the right way and you're willing to go through training and programs.
I've already
had
a lot of the classes. It was just a matter of life. My circumstances, the plant shut down right before I got to take the testing. So, you know, my resume shows how I've taken these classes. I just don't have the test. So I'm trying to find someone that's willing to bring me on and then give me time to take the certifications, because I have no problems with that whatsoever. But all these contracts here, they require that you must have it prior to, you know. So I'm trying to find something that's just the opposite.
Well, take a look at that. I mean, because they're a happening outfit, and you know that's a family thing for me. They're a great outfit, and give it a look. The big thing is, you know, it's like I went through, I've been continuously employed through this whole thing, and yet I had to actually leave the post I was in and go into a new post and rehire in again. It was really a weird thing. And I got questioned on a bunch of things, similar kind of thing. I didn't have the certifications, but when they tested my knowledge, I knew everything hands down. And mm-hmm. then they were like, oh, you're in.
Okay.
And I feel like that's the kind of the way it should be with you. Just show them you know it, you know, and then be willing to go through the training if they want to get the certification. Just volunteer for it and say you'll do whatever it takes.
Yeah. And get some letters of
I have plenty of letters of recommendation already.
Good for you. Good.
Yes.
All right.
All right. Okay. All right, my dear.
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it. I feel more better. Listen to my English. I feel much better. I mean, I was feeling great already, but this just makes it even better because it just validates things for me that I am doing following the right thing and so forth. So,
you know, half the time, Lori, we're all surfing by the seat of our pants. And I mean, I never know quite what's going to happen day to day. I mean, even though, you know, I do readings and, you know, and I can talk with spirit, a lot of times they keep me in the dark, and especially with my own life, and it gets frustrating, but you
for
find
reason.
It's for your own. Yeah. It's really there for you. The reason we manifest on earth is because we're supposed to go through all this hard stuff. And when we succeed, you know, and we really face our fears and we go forward, you know, a lot of the times it works out. Sometimes it doesn't, and then that's the test is how you react to it. And those that really look at it and go, okay, I made a misstep, I'll get up and dust my britches off and let's try again. They're the ones who succeed. You eventually find the right answer. It's just sometimes you have to fail a lot to find the right path, you know. And believe me, I failed a bunch. And I'm still here to tell the tale. So, you are a great lady. You've got a great future ahead, you know, and you've got that little one is your priority. That's everything. So,
that is for sure. I have two other boys, but they're not here. So I have to, you know, focus on this one, make sure he gets what he needs. So, appreciate it very, very much.
Yeah. Call back and tell us how it's going, you know, here in a month or so.
I will do that.
All right, Lori.
All right, dear.
Good night. All right. I am officially tired. I haven't read in, God, how was last time I was on doing readings? I forgot. It's been a while.
Yeah. Well, your last show, wasn't it like around the 13th? But you were just talking about ghost hunting and things like that from the Hornet.
Yeah, I haven't done readings, and I got my butt kicked by spirit. I mean, they were just I've been getting at night. I mean, you know, I'm clairaudience, so sometimes I'll actually hear them, and they were just like really beat me up about not being on and not meditating, and they're just in my face. So I finally went, okay, I get it. I'll read, and it's like. Because I made an agreement that I would do this stuff, and I don't always, you know, and I look at tonight like I dip my toe back in, and I'm not totally at 100%, but I felt like I did okay, you know. I mean,
I think you did good. There were some comments in the chat room that were complimenting you on your readings.
Yeah, it's I try not to fish for information, you know, and that's the thing is sometimes it can be real tempting, and it's like people will volunteer information. You go, no, I can't do that. I got to be ethical, you know, and you're trying to really pull it out of the spirit. It's going to get better now that I'm back. I'll be doing back Fridays now that things are kind of evening out with mom, you know. Man, she just had no energy. I mean, I've been carrying the ranch, and she'd only go outside like once, you know, once a week.
Wow.
You know, and go out and do she would water and do stuff like that, but she would only go off the property once a week to do some shopping, and she would have somebody take her. She didn't trust herself yet. And we found out it was this vitamin D deficiency. And so the poor thing, she's had a time of it. You know,
Vitamin D as in David?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was so down there that even sunshine wouldn't do it. She had to have supplements. Now she's perking up, and she's got a lot more energy, and I'm really noticing it with her. She's all over the place now. So we're seeing definitely a major you know, advance here. I'm going to be taking her out to out to the ocean here, probably Bodega Bay or something like that. Probably out in August sometime. We're going to head out there, and she wants to go look at the ocean. She just needs some time to figure things out. Since you know, with it being home all the time and just looking at Dad there, you know, it's been something. So I really think it'll be good for her. You know, so I'm going to take her out there.
It'll be beautiful.
Yeah, I'm going to take her out and let her squint her toes in the sand and walk around and just look at things. And she just needs to figure out what she wants to do, you know. And I give her time. She was a little cross with me this week, you know. She's getting depressed about some things, and so I just look at her and go, "Okay, Mom, I love you." Just walk out. and then she'd come back and she'd be all, "Okay, I'm back. It's cool." So I mean, she's just been through it, you know, poor woman. And Dad's been around. I mean, he popped in here about a week ago and squeezed my arm. I remember that. Just as I went to bed, and he just reached over, and I felt the covers actually move, and I actually felt him touch my arm and squeeze and a couple times, and then that was it, and I knew it was him. So I don't know. I'll tell you.
How cool is that? That's cool.
Yeah, it's good to have him back, you know. I mean, you know, I was just thinking about the reading I did for you. That was wild, that one.
It was not expected.
Yeah, they just like, your family was like powerhouse communicators, man. I mean, they were just like kicking my butt, you know, just going, just give me detail after detail, and you're freaking out, you know. And for those of you listening, I mean, it was great because, I mean, we were reading. I was just sitting there on Facebook. It was Facebook chat. And we were just there talking. All of a sudden, I go, "I've got your family coming through, and I have to tell you these things because they want me to tell you this stuff." And I don't remember everything that I said, but it was like I just kept going on and on and on. And you're just freaking out.
I was crying.
Whoa. Oh man,
I was like crying. It was so. I didn't know I had all those people out there. You know, I mean, I knew that they had passed, but I didn't know that all of them were waiting to come through and say anything, you know. Especially the thing about when my husband passed and his employer.
Oh, well, remind me of that, because I'm so drawing a blank. I mean, it's funny, I do readings like that, and here I'll remember the foundation of the reading, and then I just don't remember the details. I mean, God. And the sitter is going, "You couldn't remember that?" Yeah.
Yeah, there was like something was supposed to happen with the business, and then it didn't happen after he died, and it was really kind of, you know.
Was it right on? I mean, it was right on the money,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, you were right on. And he was, you said that that Larry was coming back, and he said, he was telling you to ask me about the paper. Where's the paper? Did I find the paper? Well, there was no paper. I guess there was some kind of an agreement, but I never found the paper because his desk had been gone through at work.
Oh, my God.
And, you said that, that Larry was waiting for his boss, I guess, when his boss passed, because he passed Larry before his boss. And so when his boss passed, he was waiting for him.
And I remember I was saying, "Hey, I've got some guy named Larry," and you freaked out. And because I didn't know your husband's name. And you went, "That's my husband."
Yeah.
I don't remember. Yeah, this Larry guy's coming through. What's this about? And boom, you just started. Then the whole thing went crazy. I mean, I was just getting detail after detail after. These are the readings that you wish for every time you would read. And it was just, they were great communicators. Polish communicators are really cool. Polish spirits know how to talk, and they're good at it. And hail to all the Poles out there. You guys rock, because I mean, I was able to read them like a book, you know. And I'm just going on and on, and you're just, oh.
And just remember my grandma, my grandpa, my paternal grandmother and grandfather just came in to check you out.
Yeah, I remember the whole family. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, what did they do? Because I can't remember that part.
Well, you were really tired and really exhausted, and you're just about, you were winding down from the reading and everything, and you kept saying, oh, I got to go. You know, I'm just so tired. This is just really taking everything out of me. And I was saying, okay, goodbye. And then you go, oh, my God. Two more of them just walked in.
Yeah.
And you said one was really short and one was really tall. And I said, those are my paternal grandparents. My paternal grandmother was like 4'10", and her husband was like 6'2".
Using the Mutt and Jeff thing? Was that it? Was that the Mutt and Jeff thing?
Yep.
I remember that. Yeah, once you do that, I remember words that I said in the reading, and it's like, oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it was just uncanny. I mean, they were the stuff they were saying was just right on the money. I mean, you get readings like this maybe six times in a year. You know, you'll get something like that with that depth of clarity. I mean, it's not to say that you're not working hard. It's just sometimes some spirits just have a. It's just like the clouds part and boom, you know, it just everything keys up, and their way of talking is the way your symbols work, and you just totally grok with them, you know. I don't know the word for that, but it just melds, and everything, it just turns into an evening of magic, and you can just read, and I totally love it when it's like that. There's just nothing better. So I don't know why I'm talking about them tonight, but maybe it's because, you know, they're happy with what you're doing. You know, because you come on here and do this stuff with me and are my co-host, and thank you. So.
Oh, no problem. I always wonder if your dad ran into my dad.
I'm sure my father's gotten around, and, you know, my dad has been very active on the other side. He's been testing abilities out. I know my father,
mm-hmm.
and his trick with everything was to analyze everything to death and figure out the roles. And he's advanced pretty quickly over there from what I can tell, because it's always a new trick with him. You know, he'll do something in the house that completely just blows your mind. Like, what the hell was he doing that for? You know, I mean, the squeezing the arm thing, that was a new trick. We've had the doors. Last week, the door opened itself and closed itself in some part of the house, and we heard it open and close. And we ran in there thinking there was somebody in the house, and it's my father. You know, I know it's him. I'm going, Dad, what are you doing now? I mean, you know, why are you freaking us out? You know, you know you're freaking us out. I mean, you know, we think we have an intruder in the house, and you're screwing around with the door. You know, I mean, if you're going to open the door, do it in front of us so we know it's a spirit, okay? You know, and so it's like, God, I mean, don't, you know. And he seems really protective with Mom, so he's spending a lot of time around. It's like I when I went off on one of my paranormal things, I left and I said, Dad, please take care of Mom while I'm gone, because I know you'll watch over her. And
mm-hmm.
I kind of got the affirmative from him, and then I get back, you know. And that, actually, it's been not last week, the week before. We had been at Virginia City. And when I got back the night of is when he did that thing with squeezing my arm. It was like, hey, I'm passing it back to you, John.
So, all right.
You know, yeah, so we have this regular trade-off thing, Dad and I, so. I'm sure he'll be making an appearance tonight, just to let me know he's happy, because we talk about him all the time.
Yeah.
And
great.
The mind lamp just turned a perfect shade of purple just as I said that.
Aww.
It's so weird how that. Yeah, the mind lamp, for those of you who don't know what it is, it's this really cool thing. You could go out and look up mind lamp on Google, and you'll see these things. And this thing is great. I mean, you just sit there. And I'll be reading, and just as I hit a point in the reading where I'll have a particular complexion of a reading as spirit's taking me on, the emotion that they're having shows up in the color on the mind lamp. It's like the whole thing is synchronized. And I've learned to trust it, that it's indeed there causing the reaction. And, you know, if they're showing heavy love to somebody, I'll get pinks and reds. If there's deep red, it can be anger. If it's blue, or you know, you're getting into blues and you're getting into purples, high spirit. So we see a lot of that. Greens can be heart, you know, heart energy. Yellows are going to be solar plexus, you know, trusting the gut, you know, emotional, you know, instincts, things like that. So that, you know, it really follows all the chakra stuff. You know, but man, that thing is accurate. And I'm just watching it. So yeah, they were saying hi.
Well, you know,
I'm winding down here.
We have you and I have a mutual friend, Renee, and she did. You had a show one time. We were talking about the ovulus, and so she, instead of getting the ovulus, she got this littler thing, and you put it in, like a wire from this thing. You stick it in like the soil of a plant nearby, and mm-hmm. it picks up reactions and from the plants. And so she named her little lamp Mr. Plant. And Mr. Plant is happy and has really pretty colors when the plant is watered and everything is wonderful. But if she has to chop up vegetables, it gets really upset.
Oh, my God.
It does. It does not like it.
Oh, man, that's like the secret life of plants. Yeah, if you do an act of violence to a plant, that other plants are all, oh, my God, it's been a death. The onion, no.
I think there's a difference between using a knife, let's say on lettuce, instead of like breaking it up with your hands. Knives probably scare them, I would assume. Poor little leafy things, you know. But,
oh, my God. And I use a chainsaw. Oh, God.
God.
I don't know. I mean, plants, I've been, it was funny, I was just reading, I was looking at Destination Truth the other day, the show, and they were showing like a plant-like being that actually was humanoid. And I never thought about that. That would be interesting if you had plants that actually became sentient. And you wonder how much intelligence they do have. So, yeah, but I've never thought of lettuce as being particularly intellectual. Tastes great between sandwiches, so.
But the thing is, you know, the electrical impulses, I guess, that are picked up. But anyway, Mr. Plant has got a personality all of his own.
She's listened to my show, before and stuff like that?
Talked to you on Facebook. She occasionally visits your show, Renee.
Okay, if you can let her know, next time we do a show, if she can listen in and call in, I'd like to talk about Mr. Plant.
I'll let her know.
All right. Well, hey, kiddo. It's getting towards midnight here on the West Coast, where we both are. So thank you for coming on and doing this with me.
No problem. You take care.
All right. I love you.
But if there's anybody in there, you know, you guys have a really great evening and love y'all. Y'all.
All right. We don't sound very Southern.
I know. I'm not. Oh. I think it's the Kathy thing rubbing off on me, y'all.
All right, my dear. Well, I am going to go ahead and wind this show down then and talk with you on Facebook. And so big hug to you and to all of you on archive listening in. Thanks for listening to this show. We're here for you guys, and definitely call in next week when we do some more readings on air. So this is Soulstream signing off. We're going to go ahead and play a little music to send us off. Let me try Flyaway Intro. Why don't we do a minute 23 of some good music? Talk with you guys later. See ya. Bye.
Bye. Night, John.
Night.
Live from the Haunted Kingdom of Gold and broadcasting from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California. This is Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio.